Scott is out of town enjoying some nice, restful time, hopefully, with his family in Indiana. And so you guys get me today. And, thank you. I've never really done, like, the full-length sermon. Last time I did a sermon here, I, like, snuck in a small group discussion time. That's a great way to, like, you know, trim things down, because I have this problem. Like, it's always been the junior sermon for me in ministry. It's like, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I'm sure we'd all be fine with that, but, you know, I felt like I've got to try to do a longer sermon. I don't get it, because, like, I can be talking. I can talk and talk with my wife. I'll be talking for an hour, and she'll be listening. She's like, yeah, yeah, and I'll talk some more. And she's kind of like, okay. And then finally, she's like, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm looking for the off switch. But with sermons, it's like, okay, I'm out of things to say. I don't know. But so I'm going to try today. We're shooting for 25 to 30 minutes. And I'm squeezing in that extra minute and a half right now to help me. That's kind of my initial buffer. But what we've been talking about, we're right in the middle of a short series on vision, on the vision of our church. Our theme is defining the relationship. And really what we're talking about is who we are, what are we about, what's our relationship to each other. And we have this mission statement. Yes, it's right there. And our mission is to connect people to the relationships that really matter and then send them to meet real needs. And this is sort of, it's kind of the main thing that we want to be about. This is sort of fundamentally, in one little sentence, what we are trying to pursue as a community. So that's what we're talking about. Last week, Scott talked about connecting. And what do we connect to? What does that look like? And just to recap a little bit, John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And last week we talked about connecting to God, we talked about connecting with each other, and we talked about connecting to this world that needs us. And really, that has to come first before the sending. We connect with Jesus. We experience this abundant life in Christ. We experience forgiveness of sins. We experience peace and joy. And that's all in the embrace of our God. And that is good in itself. We don't do that so that we can be a sent people. We just do that because it's good. And then the next part of our life is to be sent out. But if that makes sense. We don't connect in order to be sent. We connect because we need to connect to Jesus, and we're sent because the rest of the world needs to connect to Jesus, and that's why we go. So that's connectedness. And yeah, we just don't want to put the cart before the horse, so we talk about connectedness first and the importance of that. And today also is Pentecost, which is, well, it's two things. It's a harvest festival in the Jewish tradition, and it's also the day that God sent his Holy Spirit on the disciples. And so we celebrate that today. And really, when I found out I was going to get to preach on us being sent, and that also happened to be the same day as Pentecost, I was like, wow, that's perfect. The passage that we normally look at Pentecost is a great example of what it looks like to be the sent people of God. So I'm really excited about that, and it is Pentecost, so happy Pentecost, or Merry Pentecost, I'm not sure, but it's Pentecost, and we're excited. So let's dive in. The first thing that I want to talk about is, why are we sent? We are sent to offer the same life-changing connectedness that we have experienced in our lives through Jesus to others. That's why we're sent. And we're going to start by reading from Acts 1, 4 through 11. I think it's going to be up on the screens. If you have a Bible, you can look there too. It will most likely be there. But before we start, let's pray. God, just pray that you would be with us right now, that you would reveal your heart to us as we look into your word. Pray that you would bless it, that you would speak through it, and that our lives would be changed. So I pray for open hearts right now, that we would be able to hear your voice, that we would draw near to you and experience you this morning as we look into your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts 1 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So I really love this scene, and sometimes I think we lose something because, like, they don't put many exclamation marks in the Bible. So, like, it says, you know, Jesus floated to heaven, and it's like, oh yeah, okay. And so I'm sort of picturing, like, you got these disciples and they're talking, and then Jesus floats away, and they're like, and you know, they'd seen the walking on the water, they'd seen the feeding of the 5,000 and healing all kinds of people, but they hadn't seen the floating, so this was new. And they're looking. And so then these guys come up, and they're all white. And, what? Why are you looking in the sky? And they're like, well, we were talking, and Jesus, and how did you get here? And where did you get those clothes? And it's just totally, like, ridiculous, and I love it. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, you know, the cloud, you know, Jesus, the way he left, he's going to come back and stuff. And that's great. We're not really going to talk about Jesus coming back today. Stay tuned for some other sermon series, but that's not what we're doing. The really key thing that we're talking about from this passage today is that Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was hanging out with the disciples. So we had this awesome display of God's power, his triumph over death, and Jesus is hanging out with the guys. And they've been hanging out and cooking up some fish sometimes and having a good time. And so finally, the disciples are like, well, so are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, you, like, rose from the dead. It might be a good time. And they're wondering what's going on. And Jesus turns the whole thing around. Verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses to all the earth. So here are the disciples, and who can blame them? They were expecting Jesus to do something huge. They were expecting God to do it. And Jesus says, no, I mean, I'm going to be working. I'm going to be doing things, but you have work to do. So here they are in the midst of this revolution. They'd seen Jesus alive after they watched him die. They knew this changed everything. They were a little fuzzy on the details. Jesus helped them out with that. But he tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they wait. And here's what happens. We go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a little bit from there. I think that's going to be awesome. Yes, I love this. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, we continue the story. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of them hears in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." There's an exclamation point right there. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And after that, somebody cracks a joke about the disciples being drunk. And Peter's like, "No, it's too early in the morning for that." And then he stands up and he explains to these baffled and dumbfounded people what just happened. And he tells them that prophets from the Old Testament had foretold this time when God would pour out his spirit and people would prophesy and dream dreams and it would be amazing, and it was this, his spirit was going to be poured out on all people. There's no distinction. It wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the men. It was for all people. And it's incredible. If you want to celebrate Pentecost, a great way would do it, like, read Acts chapter 2, the whole thing. It's way more eloquent than me. But Peter finishes, and as he's closing up, he says, "Jesus, who you crucified, has risen from the dead." And the people are freaked out, and they're like, "Well, what do we do?" And here's what Peter says. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So it's Pentecost, which is this festival, this harvest festival, where people offer to God the first fruits of the harvest. I think it's the barley harvest in particular. And they all come to Jerusalem to make this offering. And it's a way of saying, you know, all we have is God's. And it's this act of just giving back a bit of that, offering it to him, giving God the glory. And then after you do that, you get to eat lots of food. And that's fabulous. So everybody's in town, and it's kind of this bustling, crazy time. And the disciples are there, and then God did this amazing thing, and everybody's like, "Whoa!" And the disciples were prepared. They kind of were looking for God to do something, and they jumped in when they saw it happening, and amazing things happened. And so when I say that they were prepared, I'm not saying that they had any idea what God was going to do. I think, you know, if I could go back in time and be like, "Hey guys, get ready, because flaming tongues of fire are going to come down, and then you're going to start speaking in all these different languages," they'd be like, "No, you're not from the future. Get out of here. You're crazy. There's no way you could imagine something like that." But because they were prepared, because they were watching for God to be at work, they were ready. So it's not so much about planning, because to plan, you have to be able to anticipate what's going to happen. And you can't plan for this. So they were prepared. I tried to think of a good analogy for being prepared for something, and then something just totally crazy happens and you're ready for it. But this was a pretty good example, so I decided to skip that altogether. But you have this expectation. You go through as a sent person with the expectation that God is working, that God is doing things. And then you're ready when you see it happen, and you're not like stunned and shocked and crippled because you've been waiting for it. John 3:8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So expecting God to work, it's like holding up your sail and seeing where it goes. You don't necessarily know when you hoist it up, and then you see where you end up, and you're watching, and you're ready. And that's another analogy from the Bible. Totally not original, but it's all right. So, one thing from this passage is that the disciples were ready. After all they'd seen, they were finally ready. the next thing we see is that this tremendous blessing of the Holy Spirit, while it must have been absolutely wonderful for the disciples to experience the Spirit within them, the Spirit of God, it wasn't really just for them. I mean, it was for them, but there was a bigger purpose. It's not like, you know, God gave Peter the ability to speak French, so the next time he was in France, he could order a croissant at the cafe and not get, like, the stink eye for being a tourist. That's not why we get this. It's really for the sake of the people around you. It's for the sake of the people that you are called to serve, the people you are called to witness to. And it's pretty fabulous. And when you're ready, you know, it can be some divine, wild work of the Holy Spirit that you never expected, or it can be something really small, like being there to listen to somebody when they've got something that they need to get out. Just, I would say that's just as divine. If you are ready and you are looking for God at work, you will see it. So then, what does it look like to be a missionary, to be an agent of the kingdom of God? Because I would argue that we are all missionaries. We are all called to Champaign. We are having a missions meeting right now. But what does a missionary do? I mean, a missionary goes and tries to connect with people. You help out people when they're in need. Some missionaries even get jobs to plug into the community they're sent to make more connections and kind of give back and participate in this community that they're a part of. And the great news is we're all already doing that. We're all plugged in right here. And the poor missionaries, they've got to learn these other languages, and they got to raise all the funds, and they go out there. And that's good work, and we need to do that work. But, you know, you can write a check to support a missionary, and that's good, but you're not off the hook. That's not your calling. It's good. It's a blessing, and you're furthering the work of the kingdom, but you've got other work to do. C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity, enemy-occupied territory. That is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed, you might say landed in disguise, and is calling us to all take part in a great campaign of sabotage. Living as missionaries, as agents of God's kingdom, means we stand against injustice. We bring justice. We bring goodness where there is wrong. We bring peace where there is turmoil. We bring wholeness where there is emptiness, and we bring companionship where there's loneliness, and we bring lots of other things. But we stand as representatives of God's kingdom, and our calling is to bring that to the world, and ultimately to bring this connection with Jesus that we have to the people around us who, I think you would agree, desperately need Jesus. I mean, if you think about your life without Jesus and you think about the difference that Jesus makes in your life, think about the difference that that could make in somebody else's life. It's really that simple. And as a church, we want you to wake up in the morning with this prayer on your lips: God, where are you at work today? Help me to see where you are at work, and use me so I can jump in today. That's what it is. Being sent is a calling. It's really a way of life, living your life before Jesus all of the time. It's a habit of listening and watching. It's really not a call to go out and find more stuff to do. So, I mean, except for maybe signing up for the setup team, No, I mean, that would be good, but that's not the point. If you walk away from this sermon thinking that you need to do more things than either you are sleeping or I just did a really terrible job, what we want is for you to be looking at the places where you already are, the things you're already doing, and be looking for how Jesus is at work in those places. Be listening for that wind of the Spirit in those places and jump in when you see it, because it will be there. God is already working in the places of your life all over. I used to think, you know, when I was young, that you had to be connected to a church to do ministry. So I thought, okay, I have to be a pastor because I have to serve God. And how do you serve God? Well, you become a pastor. And that was crazy. And it kind of stressed me out because, to be honest, as I was like, I went to seminary for a year and I was like, I don't know about this pastor thing. This is intense and I don't know if it's me. And then it was like, well, then where's the ministry? Because I wanted to serve God, but I didn't want to be a pastor. But then I realized that I have opportunities to minister all of the time. And then I could relax. It's like, okay, I mean, I don't have to get this like really fancy degree and stuff, and I don't have to wear the robes. And it was a relief. And the good news is we don't have to wear the robes necessarily anyway. But, you know, maybe found that out later. I don't know. But it's just an incredibly liberating thing. When you answer this call, it's not a 10-step process. It's not this thing that you draw out over the course of years and then suddenly you're there. It's you just say yes. Maybe you say yes every day. Maybe you say yes multiple times a day. You say yes to the movement of God, and you watch for it. But that's really it. You ask God to guide you. Some people, myself included, you know, take calling seriously. Like, is God calling me to take this job? Is God calling me to go to this college or to marry this person or to make this investment, and I don't know. I don't know what God's calling you to do in any of those things, but what I do know, I know that God is calling you to be a missionary today in Champaign or wherever you happen to be that day. That's what I know. And as we live as people sent on a mission, we do this in the context of our continued connectedness to Jesus. It's not something that will work without him, but with him, it's something that's pretty smooth and pretty natural. It's not this striving kind of thing. It's the going where the Spirit goes. It's this more relaxed, just being faithful where you see God at work. So, that's my sermon. 20-something minutes. Thank you. What I'd like to do now, if any of you have pens, you may want to get them out at this time. And we're going to spend a little time in prayer. And by the way, it's okay if you're done using the pen. If it's like during prayer, you can still pass that, you can open your eyes and pass the pen to someone else during prayer. Totally awesome and allowed. You can share the pens. But I wanted to lead us in a little time of reflection. So we're going to pray, but I'm going to start us in prayer, but really I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. And if you have a pen, you can write down your answer to that question. There's no rush. You can take a couple of minutes and do this thing. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you are with us, and we just pray that you would bless us now as we seek you, as we seek where you are calling us, as we seek the small things and the big things. God, we want to be your servants. We want to be your agents in the world. So, here's my question. Ask God where you are already. What are 3 to 5 places where God may have already sent you? And as you think, don't just think, well, my job or my friends at school or the other moms at the preschool. Well, actually, that's a pretty good one. Think of people and not just general places. And take a moment and ask God where God might be calling you to those places.